The week of prayer for Christian unity was at the heart of Pope Benedict's Angelus message on Sunday to the thousands of pilgrims and tourists gathered in St. Peter's Square, reminding the crowds that the week of prayer will conclude this coming Thursday, the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, with the celebration of Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls. The Pope urged all Christians to focus on their spiritual sharing of faith in order to deepen the ecumenical dialogue. My colleague Catherine Smybert takes a closer look.
May all Christians, strengthened by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have the courage to share the good news of our Lord with the poor and afflicted.
Christians, said the Pope, are heirs to pastor visions, but Christ can do anything. Quoting the theme for this week's observance from the Gospel of Mark, the Pope said, Christ makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. He can instill in Christians the ardent desire to listen and to communicate with one another, as well as speaking together with him the language of mutual love.
A lui il linguaggio dell'amore reciproco.
The Holy Father stressed that the ecumenical commitment to Christian unity is not limited to experts, but is for everyone. Ecumenism, he said, is a deep dialogical experience. It's listening and talking to one another, knowing each other better. It's a task that everyone can accomplish, especially in terms of spiritual ecumenism based on prayer and sharing that is now possible between Christians.
La settimana di preghiera per l'unità dei cristiani ci ricorda così che l'ecumenismo.
It's a biblical subject, the Holy Father said he wanted to comment on further this coming January 25th, the liturgical feast of the conversion of St. Paul, when he'll preside over an ecumenical Vespers celebration in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. The Holy Father invited us all to join him there, saying, I expect you to come in great numbers to that meeting, since unity can be especially achieved through prayer, and the more prayer is unanimous, the more it's appreciated by God.
Upon you and your loved ones, I invoke the grace and peace of Christ the Lord.
The idea is that we are, as Christians, have our ears opened and our tongues loosed so that we can then be effective agents in the world. And that is the fundamental idea of the theme for this week.
Father Fred Bliss teaches ecumenical theology at the Angelicum University here in Rome. I asked him what he sees as the real aim of this annual week of prayer for Christian unity.
Well, I would say there are two points of focus. The first is that it is a reminder to each of us that we have got a responsibility to be effective agents in the whole enterprise of working for unity, not only clergy and religious, but also the entire body of the church, lay people and clerical, working together for an effective union sometime in the future. The other side to it is that it reminds us of the value of spiritual ecumenism. And I think that is at the foundation of where the church is going to go, that we're going to have to, as it were, appreciate more deeply what it means to be inspired, founding union in the future upon a very good spiritual relationship with God. And we've had some great examples of people who've done this. I think of the Catholic patroness of ecumenism, a little girl from Sardinia called Gabriella Sagadu. She was born at the outbreak of the First World War and died at the outbreak of the Second World War, so she lived a very short life. But she joined a strict convent in Grottaferrata, where she gave her life, she said, for the unity of the church. And this was well before Vatican II. So this was a young girl had heard about an old nun who had before her offered her life for the unity of the church. And when this old nun died, Gabriella went to the Reverend Mother and said, I want to do the same. And so she made this offering of her life for the unity of the church. And so the scriptures, one section in the scriptures, John 17, was her favorite passage that she went to again and yet again. She died prematurely of tuberculosis. Subsequently, somebody arranged for her story to be written and went into many editions, the particular book on her life. And so she is now beatified by John Paul II, and that happened in 1983. And she is the patroness of ecumenism, and her body rests now in the relocated convent grounds in Vittoriciano near Rome also. And she is quite an inspiring figure, and that's what I think many others have followed in her footpath, in her steps, and made themselves spiritual masters and leaders in prayer for the sake of Christian unity. And that's what we're doing now. We're doing exactly as they did, but we're putting it into a week. And the idea is if we can extend it through the year like she did and make our lives an offering for the sake of the church.
Interesting that it should be a woman inspired again by a woman religious way back before, as you say, this before the Second Vatican Council as examples of this powerful witness to ecumenism.
That's true. And one of the very interesting features about her is it's probably unlikely that she ever met an Orthodox, a Protestant, or an Anglican. But she knew about it. And then there was another man called Maurice Villain, a Frenchman, who recognized her great value and the value of a Reformed and an Anglican, three people whom he said are really making up for us an invisible monastery. They're not living in the confines of a particular monastery. They are the invisible monastery of prayer. That is, of people who are offering their lives for this extraordinarily important dimension of the church's life, her unity.
We tend to think, perhaps, of Catholics and Protestant or Catholics and Orthodox cooperating together nowadays on practical issues, perhaps helping with humanitarian projects together. And yet you're talking about, as you say, a completely different focus of ecumenism, aren't you? A type of ecumenism that we have to focus on in our spiritual lives.
That's right. After all, the church is filled with grace. We give that grace a certain visibility through the goodness of our lives. But we've first of all got to imbibe that grace. And it's not a Catholic grace or a Presbyterian grace. It is the grace of Christ which is given and shared. And so therefore, the very fact that I enter into prayer with an Anglican or with a Presbyterian means there is an extraordinary union of hearts. And it is from that union of hearts that we then want to extend it out to the visible boundaries of the church. And that's when Christianity is going to reach its most effective moment. There are all sorts of obstacles there. There are the practical obstacles, and then there are the doctrinal issues too. And this is where, as we're going along with the prayer exercise, is the dialogue. And so that by way of dialogue, we are addressing particular issues which may be getting in the way of the completeness of the union. For example, the Catholic Church and the Anglicans and the Orthodox are very much Episcopal churches. So we are in dialogue with other communities, suggesting to them that the very identity of the church has got to be episcopal in character, that is, to have bishops who are the successors of the apostles, to have the full ecclesial identity. And so by way of dialogue, these issues are being addressed, and gradually, slowly, Christians, churches are coming closer and closer together. It is an extraordinary journey when one looks back over 40 years to see where we've come from and where we've arrived at.
And certainly this past year has been a very fruitful year, hasn't it, in this sense?
It has been. And we, I think, have got now to build on that. At the moment, for example, there are very good overtures being expressed between Orthodoxy and Catholicism. And we're hopeful that we will both be able to give an example to the rest of the Christian world of how we can address the issues, historic, by and large, not doctrinal, historical issues, and say, now let's learn to live with the fact that there is a past. We are now going to move into the future.
Father Fred Bliss, Professor of Ecumenical Theology at the Pontifical Angelicum University here in Rome.